Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's word for another day and see what he has to say. We're going to be turning through to Matthew chapter 22 again and considering the wonderful teaching of Jesus about the law. That might sound funny to some of us, but the law is a wonderful thing. So let's pray and see what Jesus has to say. Father in heaven, we thank you for your law. Thank you for your word. And we pray that you give us hearts that are ready to understand and minds that are ready to listen. Bless us with your word, for we know that we will not profit unless your spirit gives us eyes to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I say, Matthew chapter 22, and we're looking at verse 34 through to verse 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commands depend all the law and the prophets. Well, one of the great debates that used to happen among the religious elites of the time of Jesus was a constant weighing up of the law. And what I mean by that is they were constantly discussing which were the most important laws. Now, that might seem trivial to you and I, but for these men who were seeking to be faithful to God's law, don't think hypocritical or legalistic, but just these men who were seeking to honor God. They were seeking to be faithful to God's law. Well, sometimes they ran into issues. Well, what happens if a law requires you to do something which disagrees with another law, or maybe not disagree, but maybe just makes it hard to keep another law? When laws seem to come into conflict with each other, what do you do? We understand this in some ways. What happens for us when we're put in a position where we must tell the truth, and yet telling the truth might put someone else at risk? You have to now start to weigh up which rule you follow. Do I protect my neighbor, or do I tell the truth and not lie and thereby get my neighbor in issues? So these things aren't foreign to us. They, I think, were just more intensified back then in the sense of frequency. And so they used to spend quite a lot of time discussing which law was the most important and how you would decipher what to do in situations like this. And so here we find Jesus having silenced the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees get together and a lawyer comes to test him. Now, by lawyer, don't think the way we think lawyer, but this is an expert of the law. Someone whose job it was to think about the law and apply it in our life. And this man comes up to test him. Now, it's hard to know whether the word test here, Matthew intends for us to understand the same way that the Pharisees did with the taxes and the Sadducees did with the resurrection. Now, it could be that he's been sent by the Pharisees to try and trap Jesus. When you find the same story in the other synoptic gospels, they paint the guy in a better light. And it's more that this man saw the great answer that Jesus gave to the other teachers, discerned that Jesus was a man who really understood the law, and therefore brought this question to Jesus. And I think that's a good way of understanding it. I think it's sometimes our anti-legalism mindset that causes us to think of these men in a negative light that sometimes isn't fair. And so here we have this man who I think is honestly testing Jesus, not out of a bitterness in his heart, but he's testing Jesus to see if he will have a good answer for this great question. This was the great question for the lawyer. Which is the most important law and command for us to obey and keep? And Jesus provides the most fundamental understanding to how the law of God works. And that applies to both the moral law that's written in the hearts of all men and women, the one that is controlled by the conscience, the one that causes all societies to follow similar rules, or, and especially, applies to the law of God as it was found in the Old Testament. Both the Ten Commandments, as well as the explanation of the Ten Commandments through the rules for Israel and everything like that. And he gives these two sides to the answer. He says, the greatest law is to love, verse 37, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. What does Jesus mean by that? Well, we understand, I think, what it means to love the Lord our God with our heart, mind, and soul, and strength, if you look at one of the other ones. In other words, we understand what it means for God, for Jesus to say, the greatest law is to love God with everything. With every single part of you, love him. But how is that a fulfillment, or how is that the greatest command? What does he mean by greatest? Does Jesus mean that the other commands, in comparison to this one, don't matter? Well, that's probably an unhelpful way of thinking about it. I think the word fulfill is particularly helpful. I think it's the sense that all the other commands, they serve to fulfill this command. And what I mean by that is that in order to fulfill any law that God has given, it must serve to love the Lord our God with all our heart. So, if you just think about the Ten Commandments, don't have idols, don't create idols, don't worship anything else. Why are they so important? Not because having an idol is evil, although it is. Not because creating statues is wrong, or loving things in your heart more than God is wrong, but because you cannot create an idol or worship something else and at the same time the love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. It's impossible, as Jesus says elsewhere, to love both God and money. Having money is not in and of itself wrong. But the reason you can't love money is because you can't love money and God at the same time. It would be a denying of the first principle being to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And therefore, when you come to any law, you have to ask yourself, how does this fulfill the requirement to love God? So that applies to us in the New Testament church as we seek to serve God, as we seek to come to worship. How does this enable me to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind? If I cannot do this, and meanwhile at the same time love God, I am breaking the law. But then there's a second side to it, which is the love of neighbor. How can I both hate my neighbor and love my neighbor at the same time? You can't, can you? And there were laws that dealt with this type of thing. So if you think back to the Old Testament laws, there were things like, my favorite, you must build a parapet around your roof. Now, if you don't know what a parapet is, it's basically just a fancy name for a fence that goes around your roof. You think of people who have second-story homes, and they have a balcony off their bedroom, maybe, and that balcony has a little fence around it. Why? Well, to stop someone falling off. Now, if you live in a culture which has flat roofs, and most people can go onto their roof, it's really important that you put a fence around your roof. Why? Because someone might fall off it. Now, building a parapet around your roof in and of itself is not really a law in the sense that it doesn't do anything. The purpose of it is not just so that you have a parapet. And you see, that's where legalism has its problem. The fault of legalism is that legalism says what the law says is what matters. So having a fence around your roof is what matters. Or if you think to the way men in the Old Testament had to have their hair, they had to have certain parts on the sides of their beards not trimmed, etc., etc. And that becomes the law in and of itself. Yet all of those things were there to fulfill another purpose. So you built a parapet around your roof for the purpose that your neighbour would not come up on your roof, fall off the roof, and hurt themselves. And so you were loving your neighbour. Or think to the story of Ruth. Why is it so important that Boaz didn't harvest his field twice, go to the very edges, and ensure that there was nothing missed in the field? It wasn't just for some legalistic reason to make sure people didn't harvest their field twice. I mean, the reality is, you and I today would harvest our field and make sure we got everything out of it. I used to be a dairy farmer, and when we would cut maize, we would be very careful to make sure that we didn't miss it, because we don't want to waste it. But the purpose behind it was to show love to the orphan, the widow, the fatherless, who needed to care for themselves. And so out of love for neighbor, Boaz ensures that he fulfills the law and leaves some on the ground for people like Ruth to come along and gather. Think about the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill, steal, commit adultery, covet, lie. Why? Because you cannot do any of those things out of love for your neighbor. You cannot honor, you cannot dishonor your father and mother and love them at the same time. And so when Jesus says, the greatest law is to love God, and the second is like it, to love neighbor, what he's saying is, the purpose of every single law that God gives is to fulfill one of these things. Why is this so helpful to us? It's helpful to us because it enables us to see the purpose of the law and why it's still relevant to us today. Yes, the Levitical law with its sacrifices and the government law for Israel, the national law that required them to do certain things. Yes, those things don't apply to us anymore, but the essence of those laws still apply to us because the essence of them is love God and love neighbor. And sometimes I think we need to be reminded of this because we can be very quick to dismiss all of the Old Testament law. So one of the very common things that I used to hear in Bible college and in other churches that I've been a part of are people saying things like, only the laws which Jesus confirms are those that apply to us. So if Jesus doesn't explicitly say, don't kill people, then it's okay to kill people. But the problem with that is when Jesus makes this comment, love God, love neighbor, he basically says all of the law continues. Not in practice, but in essence. And so when we come to live out our lives as Christians in the church, in the world, in devotion to God, the great motivator for us in our life as Christians is not what's the law and how do I follow it, but how do I keep the love of God and the love of neighbor? Why? Why do I do those things? Because people get all up in arms as soon as you start telling people to keep the law. Why do we do these things? The same motivation Israel had. What was Israel's motivation? If you go to Exodus 20 and you read the Ten Commandments, the most important phrase in the Ten Commandments are not the Ten Commandments, but the preface to the Ten Commandments. What is the preface? I, God says, delivered you from Egypt. Because I've delivered you from Egypt, this is how I want you to serve me. And the entire law flows out of that reality. And it's the same here. It's the same thing for the Christian faith. Because we're free from keeping the law, doesn't free us from obeying the law. Because God has redeemed us from sin, we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Because On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Everything in the Old Testament is understood through the lens, like my glasses, through the lens of this statement of Jesus. So any time you get to something in the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, and you're struggling to understand how that applies to you today, ask yourself, how does it fulfill loving God and loving your neighbor? So a great example of this is when you turn to the prophets and you hear the prophets prophesying against Israel because they failed to care for orphans and widows. Now ask yourself, why is that such a heinous evil thing? It's not just because orphans and widows need to be cared for, though they do, but it's because they were denying the essence of the law to love their neighbor as themselves. We need to remember this. We need to remember that we are called as the people of God to live faithfully with God, to act the way he calls us to. And the great lens, and I encourage you to do this, just take these two laws as a lens to place in front of your eyes as you read the scriptures. When you read the New Testament and hear the teachings of the apostles, ask yourself, how are these things a fulfillment of loving God and loving my neighbor? And may God help us to do it. Father in heaven, we thank you for these two great laws that summarize everything we are to do in our life. We pray that you would help us as your people to be faithful in this, not to neglect this calling, but to be men and women of love, love for you and love for the people around us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for joining me for another daily devotion. I'll see you back here tomorrow afternoon. God bless.